Good morning and welcome into Pete's Talk. This is our town, and my special guest in the studio with us this morning is probate judge of Chilton County, Mr. Jason Calhoun.
Good morning, sir. Judge. Good morning, Chris. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Appreciate you coming and joining us this morning to talk a little bit about maybe some things going on in the big courthouse and other things you're involved in around about. In your first term with us as our probate judge, so fixing to go for round two next year, right?
That is correct, and just want to say good morning and thank you for having me. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come out, sit down, and talk with you for a little while.
Well, you know, a lot of people may not know what goes on in the probate judge office, and we'll go ahead and mention we got sidekick sitting over here with us, Glenn McGriff. Glenn was on with us a few weeks ago, but y'all are riding together this morning, so we told him to come in, and we may have put him on the spot and let him sing or something if we run out of time.
But
morning to you too, Glenn.
Good morning.
Tell us, you know, a lot of people don't know really what all the probate judge does to some extent, so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your history, where you from originally, where you went to school, and the career you had before politics.
Yeah, that sounds great. So many years ago now, I was born in a little small town in South Georgia. You may have heard of it. It's called Vidalia, Georgia. And we are the sweet onion capital of the world. And so I actually grew up on an onion farm. And so we are very familiar with the crop season and how the peaches grow here. And I know the state of Georgia is known for their peaches, but I do believe Chilton County peaches are a little bit better.
I have to agree with you on that.
Our onions may not be good, but our peaches are
better. but the peaches are good, so it was a really good trade-off for me. So my mom and dad, they still live in Vidalia. Actually, my whole family's right there in Vidalia. And so I guess you would call me the black sheep of the family. So I ventured out and crossed the state line and went to Troy. And when I graduated high school, way back in 1990.
Go Trojans.
And so I ended up going to Troy and went through their sports medicine program. I had quite the experience there at Troy. Now Troy University used to be Troy State when I was there. So I believe it was called Troy State when Glenn was there too.
That's right.
And so it was. We had a great time there. Met a lot of people from Chilton County. Made a lot of friends there. And so we were in that first class of the sports medicine program. It was just beginning there at Troy. And that first day there was about 50 to 55 students in that class for the first meeting. When we ended up graduating, there was three of us in that class that was left. That's how demanding it was. And so, but I love my time at Troy. Will always be a Trojan. And I actually met my wife there. She was a majorette there with the Sound of the South marching band. And she just happened to be a peach queen. And I won't tell you what year she was a peach queen. If I did, I would get in trouble.
Yeah.
but I sure did. I met her there. She was from Chilton County, and I met several of her friends. And that kind of began my relationship and connection to Clanton, Alabama. And so we had a great time there for many years, graduated, and then moved to Clanton. I moved to Clanton, and I actually went to work for a lady by the name of Renee Clayton. You may remember,
it was
Clayton
name.
Rehab. It was a physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy. We did clinical treatments there in her office, and then there was also a home health agency that was that worked out of that there as well. And so great times back in the day with Clayton Rehab.
Yeah.
Sure did. And so, my goodness, after that, let's see, I worked with Miss Renee for a few years, and then we actually moved back to Vidalia. I got married, and married Sherry and I got married. And so in 1980, let's see, when did we, 1998. We
you better
moved,
remember when you got married, brother.
Well, now, I remember that. Now, I got married in 96, but yeah, I was trying to think. In 98, we moved back to Georgia, started a sports medicine program there at the local hospital, worked there for a couple of years, and then the opportunity presented itself for me and Sherry to return back to Chilton County and start what is known
she,
as...
She didn't have any influence on that.
Maybe just a little bit. We moved back and started, was one of the owners of Cornerstone Fitness and Wellness. And so that's a business that's still up and operational today. I think they do pretty well over there with Barry Baker and Amanda Giles and myself. And so it was a really good partnership for a while. And then after some time there, we kind of split up a little bit, and I ended up going to taking a job with a group of orthopedic surgeons up in Birmingham. And I ended up being there assisting in surgery, helping in clinic. We did some sports medicine outreach for several high schools and just had a big time staying out all sorts of night on the ball field and the basketball court. You name it, we were there. And so after a while, that kind of wears on you once you start having a family. And so Sherry and I have been married for, long time, since 1996. So we have three daughters, Anna, Abigail, and Alexandria. We call her Allie Kate. She's the caboose.
Yep.
If she would have been first, she would have been the only one we had. I can promise you that. She is a handful. She's a lot of fun.
She's the softball star, right?
Well, she's actually the cheerleader.
A cheerleader.
Yeah, Abby was my middle child. She liked to play softball.
Okay. You had one that played softball with the Lady Tigers.
Yeah, and so we had a lot of fun with the ball growing up, and so we've done everything from, beauty pageants to twirling the baton.
That's what my granddaughter's in.
To dancing. Yeah. Now we're doing cheerleading with the youngest one, and she's a junior at Chilton County High School. And so the other two, Anna, she's graduated from the University of Alabama. She was a majorette with the Crimsonettes. And so she had, it was really fun following her and the Crimson Tide for the last 4 or 5 years. They have such a dominant program, so they were always, seemed like they were always playing for a national championship, Glenn.
I like that.
Yeah. And so it was really fun to travel around the country and be a part of that. And my middle child, Abby, she is currently a sophomore down at Auburn University.
Warrior.
And
you
she...
One in the family got good
baby. Got one that, yeah, there you go. And she loves Auburn, I tell you. It's hard to get her to come home. But she's studying to be a dentist. And so Anna, she graduated as an accountant there at Alabama, and she's working in Birmingham. And so we've just got the little one, Allie Kate, now. We're trying to help her figure out what career path she would like to take. And so every day it seems like it's a new idea, that we seem to talk about. And so she'll figure it out, and she'll be fine.
It'll come together.
Absolutely.
Well, you decided to get into politics. So,
yeah.
So what in the world made you decide to get into politics?
Well, it's interesting. My dad was a chairman of the county commission back home for 12 years. And so being around politics, being in politics and involved, we kind of grew up in that type of environment, so I had a little bit of an understanding of how it worked.
And, you can relate to that, can't you, Glenn?
Yeah, and how to serve.
Very well, yeah.
You and I both.
We talked about that last time I was on here. Yeah.
That's right. So being in politics really is all about serving the people, serving your community, and serving the residents of Chilton County. And so... I had a group of elected officials and good friends that approached me about prayerfully considering running for probate judge, since Judge Martin was going to be retiring. And so I guess to them they felt like I had the personality and maybe the organization skills to try to step in and somewhat fill his shoes. You know, he had rather large shoes to fill, and so we're still trying to fill those shoes. But I wear about three pair of socks every day. And so we're getting there.
Put a little padding in, huh?
That'll put a little padding in. Like I said, big shoes to fill. Judge Martin did a fantastic job while he was here. Represented Chilton County very well. Represented them all over the state of Alabama. A lot of people are very familiar with Judge Martin and the job he did here in Chilton County. So we're just trying to follow in that path and help as many people as we can. We love on folks every day. Most of it is good love. Some of it is tough love. But we're here to help and to serve, and that's what our office is geared towards.
Well, the probate office does a lot of things when you walk in the courthouse and go up the steps to the second floor there. Probate office is on the right, Most everybody's familiar with that because they go there to get the driver's license. They'll handle the driver's license issuing for the county.
That's right, we do. And you know, there's been a lot of change in the probate office over the last 5 years, and starting with Judge Martin retiring. So now there's a new face in the probate seat, and so it's interesting to watch people as they come in to the office, and they people that I've never met before. Mm-hmm. They're coming in, and they're like, man, it just doesn't look right not seeing Judge Martin sitting in that chair. You know,
he was there for quite a few years.
He was there for 30.
He was there for
30 years.
Yep. 30 years.
Yep.
Long time.
Long time he was there for.
30 years from now, you'll know what you're doing. Maybe,
long
huh?
time. So, but we've had a lot of positive changes. We've updated our software system that we use to try to make it a little more efficient and to be up to date and equivalent to what the state looks for whenever they come in to do an audit. So our software system now allows us to be auditable. So that we can make sure we're in compliance. We've had, there's a total of five people that work there. That we're a part of the probate team. And of those five positions, when Judge Martin was there, we have had three to turn over. And so there's a lot of new faces that are in the probate office. And so to be honest with you, I feel like we're in a really good spot right now. With our staff, I feel like we're friendly and we're helpful. No matter what kind of mood you may be in when you come up to the counter.
Like I say, probate office deals with a lot of things. A lot of people know, of course, like say you issue the driver's license.
That's right.
Hunting, fishing licenses.
That's right.
Boat
then
licenses.
Boat licenses, and y'all take care of the boat tags in that office, right?
Well,
the boat. Stickers, is that
right? The registration,
yeah, the little registration
tag.
Stickers,
that's right.
The numbers. The numbers.
There you go. That's right. It's amazing. We do a lot. We do a ton of boat renewals every year.
And then
thousands of them.
And
actually,
then, of course, every deed that is in the county is in the probate office back in your vault back there. All the deeds and recorded. Any actions that's recorded. Recorded with the probate office. Folks do a will and record it. Sell a piece of property or do a corporation, and all that stuff is recorded and tracked in the vault back there, right?
That's right, with the mortgages and stuff. We have a lot of books back there, and I'd like to, something that, you know, a change that's coming is we actually have initiated conversations with the county commission about actually putting a lot of those old books, doing some electronic filing now with them, scanning them into the system and having them on the computer, so that just in case you're looking for a document that is not on our new system that is actually in the books, we're going to take those books apart, we're going to scan them, put them back together, and we'll always have them, but we'll also have those documents now on our software system, so you can log on through the internet and you can search for those right there wherever you are, whether you're at your home or office.
Without having to come to the probate
office. Without
having
to physically come in and grab those heavy books and find a table and put them on.
I've done that at times. Yeah. We had a little property dispute on where I live, and I had to go back and dig. Somebody had recorded a loan back, and this was in the 40s, because it was hilarious, because the loan not only had the property, but it also had couple of cows and some chickens and goat on it, I think. But they had the banker had just stepped off the property and put it down as, you know, 99 yards, I think it was, or whatever. Right. And that wasn't what the survey prior to that was. And some reason from that point on, that banker stepped off, got put on the next deed, and on the next deed, and it was about 15 feet off. And when the last property owner bought it, I said, there's the property line. They said, and the surveyor came and said, no, there's the property line. I said, nope, I know that's not right. And so I had to go back and dig it back out. And I found it where it got changed from the proper number to right. You know, what the banker had stepped off when he recorded the note on it. And so we got it corrected. And
also do the elections. I work with Jason, the probate judge, and the sheriff. The circuit clerk and probate judge and the sheriff are on the election committee, and Jason can tell you about that.
That's a good fun part of it. When election comes, you gotta get all those vote machines set up.
That's right. But before we go into the election, though, I do want to go back to that the electronic filing project. Looking forward to having more conversations with the county commission about that. That program is hopefully will gain a little bit of traction, and we'll see that come to fruition.
Well, that would be awesome, because I know when you start looking some up, and your team, by the way, is awesome to help you when you go to look for something.
Well, thank you.
That.
I appreciate that. I'll make sure I tell them.
I've dealt with Bobby's team and yours team and trying to go find some documents in those old books. And some of it's on microfiche now.
That's right.
A while back, you know, the thing was, let's get rid of the books and put it on microfiche. And so now it's, let's get it digital into a computer, which I guess all the microfiche stuff would be digitized as well for online, right?
That's right. We've got to figure out how to convert that and blow it up and make a copy of it so that we can scan it into the system.
Is that stuff still in the microfiche stuff, the books it came from, still there, or is that stuff that was on books that have been destroyed?
No, so those books are still there. They're probably in the basement of the vault. The vault is two stories, mm-hmm. It's two levels, and so a lot of our older books are still downstairs. We just don't go downstairs very much in the vault, but when we have a lot of community service people looking, mm-hmm. You know, that may have gotten in trouble and had to go before a judge, they will, part of their sentence will be to do some community hours, and so they will come to the probate office and we will put them to work cleaning and wiping down and just making mm-hmm. sure that those books are preserved and taken care of until we decide what we want to do with those, you know, in the future. But right now they're locked up in the vault, because it's the other than the microfiche and those books, that's the only place you can find those documents. Mm-hmm. They're not secured other way.
And if I remember correctly, there's some documents that go way back in the history of Chilton County, mm-hmm. That were destroyed in a I think there was a fire in one of the old courthouses.
That's right.
Before the courthouse that I remember, before the courthouse that's there now.
Yeah,
and so right. Some of those documents were destroyed, and that's the bad thing about the mm-hmm. paper type records. And the good thing about the electronic records is it can be backed up off site, and
that is correct.
And you don't have if you have a computer crash or a hacker gets in and does what's happened there before.
That's right.
It's backed up somewhere else, and you still can.
We'd be
can
back
get all
up and running
records.
Within a matter of minutes. That is correct. That's right. Yeah. So the election, we're well versed in elections, aren't we, Glenn? unfortunately, since I've taken office, we have done a tremendous amount of elections.
Your first year was, man, it was unbelievable. We had special elections.
We did. I believe it was either in 2019 or 2020. We did the most elections in the entire state of Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
We had special elections. Now I feel like I can, you know, maybe go give a lecture on at our sports, not sports medicine, but our probate judge conferences that we do. But we have a really good and a really strong election staff. Our poll workers are the best in the state. And I tell when we get together and have conferences, a lot of our judges are complaining about not having enough of the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people just are not interested in helping anymore.
Well, that's that community service you and I were talking about. Nobody does community service anymore. They're not interested.
They're not interested, but they are in Chilton County.
That's good.
And so every chance I get, I stand up and, you know, people ask, are you having these kind of issues and troubles? And I'm like, no, ma'am, no, sir. The people in Chilton County love to serve. And we have a phenomenal group, and they do a really good job. They do a really good job.
They do a great job.
I know
job.
They do it at my polling place where I vote. They're always they're on the spot and ready to roll.
That's right. And so it's a lot of people don't fully understand what all we do there in the probate office. The elections is one of the main things that we do.
Record keeping, election license issued, and then there's the name of the job. The probate side.
Probating of estates. That's right. Probating wills and estates and administrations. for the most part, they all go fairly smooth from time to time. We do have family members that can't get along. And so that creates a little bit of issues, you know, to navigate and to overcome. But usually we're able to find some common ground. And really, the probate office, I don't get involved in probating estates unless I have to. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the families get along, they all understand, they agree on who gets what. It may be in a will, or they may have just understood where mom and dad has set them down and said, look, once we pass, you know, then this is how we want it divided out. And for the most part, it goes that way. But every now and then we'll have some interesting hearings where families get upset.
Terms. Yeah. Of course, you also do things dealing with adoptions.
We mm-hmm. do. That's probably one of the best parts of our job is to go through the adoption process and to see a child. Most of the time, a child, sometimes a teenager, and sometimes an adult gets a permanent home and a permanent family. And it's a process. It usually takes months to get that done. And so when we do our final hearing that we have, we love for the family to bring in extended family members. And if DHR is involved, they will come and participate. And we just have a celebration. We really do. And we take pictures and we love on each other. And it is just really, really, really good.
Always good when a child gets that home they deserve, especially if it's one that's been in the foster system or in the DHR system, because they've already had been dealt a bad hand.
That's right.
And it's a celebration, I know, when you can help them get a good hand, so to speak.
It's always fun. It really is. It's a lot of fun. I try to do my final hearings about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The last thing I like to do in the day.
Go home with a smile on
your
face.
Go home, I don't have to deal with anything else, and all I have on my mind is that adoption.
So you don't want to do one of those mental hearings the last thing that happens.
No, bless the heart.
You have to deal with some of that too.
We do. We have our share of people who are, you know, just struggling. They struggle with with some mental sickness, and there's a lot of people. There is a lot of people throughout the country and throughout Chilton County who deal with mental health issues, and sometimes they get to the point to where they just don't know what to do and how to act. And so we have to step in sometimes and try to help them, you know, get to a place where they can get some treatment. And a lot of times it requires a little bit of medication for them to try to help bring them down to the baseline where they can function and think. And once we get them to that baseline and they've had a little bit of time to settle in and settle down, and we discharge them and put them on a little treatment program, and it works out really well.
I know one thing that kind of seems to be running rampant in our world today is Alzheimer's, and that comes into play a lot of times when you got elderly folks.
We do that
have been the decision makers in the families down through the years, and right. Now they can't make those decisions. Competently can't make those decisions.
They have a hard time.
And they're still unless some arrangements are made prior to that taking place, there's really nothing their children can do, because mom, dad, or grandpa, or whoever it is, they still have all their rights of decision, but they're not capable of making any of those decisions.
That's right.
And sometimes. The probate judge has to kind of step into that as a process to that. Go into that a little bit.
We do.
You kind of do that in the terminology for it. Because if I threw a term out there, it's going to be the wrong term.
No,
so I know
you'd
there's
be fine.
Correct terms for it.
Well, there are, but I like to talk in layman's terms.
When you
really.
When you assign the well-being of somebody And a lot of times, you're the one that has to take that on, right?
That's right. And as far as the Alzheimer's and dementia, you know, those two conditions are actually classified as medical conditions. They do not fall under the mental health umbrella. And so, you know, with Alzheimer's, that's a neurological condition. It's a disease. And then with dementia, dementia is just where the brain gets sick and it has a hard time understanding, comprehending, reasoning, and thinking. You know, and that involves the mind, which is mental, but it is still classified as a mental health or as a medical issue, not a mental health issue. But we do still help. The bad thing about trying to navigate something like that, it's usually an elderly person, and our process is the same on how we locate and apprehend and help someone transport them. And so it really has to be a bad situation for us to go in, because we use the deputy sheriffs and we use the police officers to go in, and we have to put them in the back of a police car, mm-hmm. to take them to the hospital to get them some help. So it can be tough if you think about grandma or granddad having to ride in the back of a police car and they don't understand why.
Yeah.
You know, and so it just sometimes it creates a really difficult situation. So we try to encourage and figure out how we can get them some help without having to go that route. But sometimes it's inevitable and we have to do that.
Yeah, especially if they, you know, and of course sometimes they have children that love and care for mom, dad, granddad, or whoever it is.
That's
And so you have to try to give them some help, because they're trying to deal with a situation that they totally can't deal with, because... No. You know, you just can't.
Sure what else to do. You know, they've tried to reason with them. Sometimes when they're having a certain type of episode, or they're just having a bad day and they can't remember a lot of stuff, they're not cooperative at all. They don't mean to be that way. They're just part of that sickness that they're dealing with. And so maybe a sister or brother or son or daughter, whoever's having to deal with them, they're just not real sure what else to do. So they come to the probate office looking for guidance mainly. And so we kind of walk through that process to see how we might can help.
Yeah, and I know that's to go to the point where is the conservatorship, is that the correct term?
Guardianship.
Guardianship.
Yeah,
okay.
Conservatorship. That's a big word.
I told you I would do the wrong term.
No, it
would. But sometimes you have to go to that.
Yes, guardianship and conservatorships usually go hand in hand. Now, the difference is, with a guardianship, you're talking about the person as a whole, like Chris Johnson. A guardianship would be over you as a person. It would be over getting you to the doctor, making decisions that involves you as a person. Conservatorship would be over your finances, helping pay your bills, the money that you have come in on a monthly basis and going out on a monthly basis. So.
And a lot of times those happen at the same time, I guess.
A lot of times it's at the same time, especially if it's for... someone who's struggling, who may be incapacitated due to sickness. I tell you, the last couple of years, we've probably done more guardian and conservatorships with this COVID issue. This medical condition called COVID has just been a nightmare for people who are not prepared. You're not prepared for it. It's a virus. You catch it, and just like that, you're down, and you don't have the ability to be able to think correctly. Some of our elderly people, that is. And so they're left trying to figure out what to do. The loved ones are.
Tell them about power of attorney, you know, how that works. You know,
A lot
of times people talk about power of attorney.
Yeah, power of attorney is really good. That's another good, that's another vehicle. There's two vehicles to care for your parents. You've got your power of attorney, and then you have the guardian and conservatorship. The power of attorney used to come through the probate office at one time, but I believe the law changed several years before I got into office. And so that power of attorney document does not have to come through the probate office. Mm-hmm. But the power of attorney, there's something that everybody needs to know. There's a general power of attorney, and then there's a durable power of attorney.
Correct.
Okay. General power of attorney, if it's worded correctly, it's over the person and their finances, but it terminates... Right. When the person becomes incapacitated. Mm-hmm. That's when you need it the most of the time.
That's when you need the durable.
So anybody out there that's listening that needs power of attorney for a loved one, make sure that you get a durable power of attorney, because that allows you to help them make decisions when they're just like you and I, or if they become sick and become incapacitated, it still stays in effect.
Stays in effect,
and that's when you need it the most. That's right, and then it terminates upon either death or that person notifies you that you're not their power of attorney anymore. Yeah. In writing, of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're just about used our time up. I appreciate you coming and joining us this morning. A lot of interesting information. And again, as I told Glenn before, we could probably do this again and cover some stuff that we hadn't covered. But we appreciate you stopping by and joining us here on Pete's Talk. This is our town, and we try to tell folks in the community what's going on, let them meet some of the folks in the community, and talk about some things coming in the future, some things in the past, and et cetera. So appreciate your time so much, Judge Calhoun. And Glenn, we appreciate you dropping in with us as well.
Thank you, Chris.
And we appreciate our listeners for your time. Tune in every Friday morning at 8 o'clock, and the reruns on Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock right here on WKLF. This is Peach Talk. This is our town.